And my boss is trying to get me a new one, but like, we just got you a new laptop a year ago, but I was doing a different job a year ago.
Oh, I was just saying, oh, because I remember being able to program back in the day. I remember when I was allowed to build things.
All right, sounds like we're starting the panel.
So, yeah, it is 2 minutes late, right on time. So, I'm Jer Lance.
I am Dawn Kazwara, even though I don't have my little name tag because it's a 10 a.m. panel.
So,
that is how you, hold up, Kazwara.
I never knew that.
Never what I said.
Like Dawn K.
And the name of the panel is Manager or Leader Running a Technical Team. So, basically, the concept is we're going to talk a little bit about essentially the differences between management and leadership, which are considerably different, and those of you that have managers probably are already aware of that. Those of you that are managers hopefully are aware of that or will become aware of that quickly. So I guess a little bit about us to lead off. Do you want to talk about yourself?
Talk? Yeah. I love talking about myself. So my name again is Dawn Kazwara. And I...
Fucking shit. All right, I'm back.
See, when he said he was coming in to heckle, he didn't realize we would be heckling him through the whole panel. I have been working in IT, believe it or not, for roughly 20 years at this point, about 18 years. Moved into management maybe 10 years ago, maybe 12, maybe. I don't want to tell you how old I am. And my management style has always been one of my job is to help other people, and we'll go through a lot of that as we go through here. And I've had a lot of praise from the folks who worked for me. I've had people follow me from company to company to company, and I move jobs a lot. And sometimes by choice. I take that as a sign of being a good leader. When people are willing to leave a job where they're happy and they're getting paid as much as they want to leave to come work for you again, that tends to be, I think, a fairly good objective sign that you're doing it right. I have been everything from team lead up through VP. So in various technical areas, if you have more details, then that's too bad. It's Jer's turn.
That trailed off abruptly. I like that. I'm Jer Lance. I've been writing software since the late 1900s. Professionally for like 2 decades, give or take. And I've been in management off and on for probably, I don't know, 12 to 14 years of those 2 decades. I've actually been a leader or aspiring leader for a much smaller period of that time. It took a while to realize there was a difference. I have served as director at the director level, and I've been a software engineer. And currently, I'm the development manager for a practice out of Ann Arbor, doing e-commerce. So I have done terrible, terrible management, and I have done, hopefully, at least moderately decent leadership over the course of my career, and probably we'll talk mostly about the former, because it's a lot more entertaining, and you can learn a lot more from the stupid shit that I did than the bragging that I can follow that with any luck.
When was the point when you decided that you wanted, for lack of a better term, to go into management?
I'll let you know. I say that flippantly or glibly, but it's fairly true. I've never actually actively sought a management role. It's a thing that's sort of like percolated. If you have a shitty manager, you have one of a couple of options, and for a long time, the option that I kind of defaulted to was, time to go, motherfuckers. And that gets really shitty after a while. Like, you get into a team that you like, or you get into a situation you like, and you just have a shitty manager, and you let it drive you out. And so for maybe a decade or so ago, I started just kind of stealing the parts of the job that they were doing shitty. Like, I wasn't the manager. I'm just going to take care of these things. And as it turns out, if you steal enough of a manager's job, sooner or later, you get the manager job foists it off on you. So like my earliest management time was, I was never, not even officially a manager. I'd be like just a team lead managing a project and then managing my team to go along with it because it was something that I did either well or at least less poorly, which is often quite enough. What about you?
And that's why I ask, is because my path is, I know, similar in that I never had considered, I had assumed I was going to be an individual contributor my entire life. I was going to be a software developer, which is where I started as well. I did embedded system. I did early web. Early web. I invented the web. And
Al Gore?
And I never thought about management until in one of my reviews, my manager at the time said to me, well, when you move into management, this is one of the skills you need to learn to do before you do that. And I went, what? Wait a minute. To her, it was an assumed that that's where I was headed because she saw skills in me that she felt would be useful in a management role. So it wasn't something I had considered until that point. And I've gone through the gambit of, I don't want to be a manager, to I'm a manager and I like it, to I'm a manager and I hate it and I'd really like to code again, to I want to be CTO or CIO, to dear God, please don't ever put me up there. And I bring this up as we start this conversation simply because I assume that some of you in this room are here either because you have bad managers, you have good managers and you'd like to validate there are other ones out there, or this is a path that you're either on or considering. So I think that it's an interesting thing to hear how other people kind of got here and to know that it's not a, because I know I see this a lot when I talk to CIOs, is like it seems like they've always wanted to do this and this is where they're headed. And we all have a lot of self-doubt about how we do this and where we're going and if we're in the right place.
I wonder if that's a revisionist history though. When you meet some, and maybe it's not, I don't know, but I wonder if when you meet these people who are like, yeah, I've always wanted to be a manager and I've always, if they're now revising the history of their thing and if they weren't at one point like us where we're like, eh, really? Any given day, I could step back down and feel pretty okay with the decision that I just made. Yeah. You know, there are days when I'm like, fuck this. I wish I was just writing code again, you know, and responsible only for my shit and actually able to do something that I am reliably good at. Because I think that's a huge part of it is those of you that are good at your job and then get, it's the Peter Principle. Has anybody heard of that thing? You rise to the level of your own incompetence. When you stop doing good at your jobs, when they stop promoting you. So now this is where I am. I often feel like that because I'm a good coder. I'm a reliably good coder. And I get to do the thing that I'm good at that got me the job I'm in now almost never. And I get to do this thing that I am constantly struggling with and fighting with and trying to figure out how to do better, which on the good days is fun. Like, it's a fun challenge. And on the bad days, it's like, wow, I am ruining not just my life, but the lives of numbers of others of people. This is the best.
And an entire company. We're all losing our jobs.
Yeah, like, hey, I'm not going to be homeless. We're going to be homeless. Let's do this shit together.
Quick question for you.
Sure.
Have you actually tried stepping back into a developer role?
I have. Okay. I am terrible at it. As it turns out, I stepped back in, and I actually, at the company that I'm currently at, I got hired in to be a lead. We recently got bought, but prior to that, it was a very small, like, scrappy little 50, 60-person company, and I got hired to be a lead. 6 months into it, maybe 9 months into it, there's no real clear direction. I wasn't really given the authority to manage over the things that I had responsibility for. So there was a tremendous number of things that I was responsible for going well and had no authority to make them go well. I would say something and somebody above me would overrule. No, we're not going to do that. I'm going to get yelled at when this all goes to shit though, right? That's what's going to happen? So I stepped down. I was like, I don't care. I'll take a pay cut. I'll go. I can write code for you. I don't give a shit. And it didn't last super long. It's very hard, especially when you feel like at one point you had a position of authority or control over at least trying to make things better. It's really hard to step down and just watch everything go to shit. Like, I think that maybe if there was a strong leader that stepped into the vacuum behind me, maybe that would have been, especially if somebody was better than me, that would have been amazing. But to kind of step out and have everything kind of start trailing off it didn't work for me.
I did something kind of, I didn't step back to a developer position, but I went from a VP to a director. And that was a very conscious decision from my part. I moved companies as well, but I left one company as a VP and I stepped back and became a director. And I did that on purpose because I had decided I was much happier in my job if I was not in charge of all the things. Like, I wanted to have the authority to be able to tell people what to do. And that sounds terrible, and again, we'll get kind of to that theoretically here in a second. But I also didn't want to be dealing with a lot of the other things that a VP, a CIO, whatever, has to deal with in terms of the management and the politics and so forth. That just wasn't, it didn't make me happy when I got home from work. It didn't make me happy when I was at work. And I spend more time there than I do with the people that I love, so why would I make myself miserable?
Now, And so that's been a stepping back, it's been a good thing for you then, and you stayed with it?
No, it was a good thing. I was very happy with what I was doing. My company recently had some financial issues and did a layoff like a month ago.
Okay.
And unfortunately I was being low man on the totem pole, having only started a few months, 10 months before that.
Having stepped down to become low man on the totem pole.
Yes. So were I still there? Yes, it was a good decision. I was actually quite happy while I was doing that particular position. And I kind of feel like that's, in speaking about this, you know, we rise to the level of our own incompetence, but we also, at some point, if we're self-aware enough, we rise to a level where we're comfortable. And, you know, you have to be comfortable enough with yourself to say, I've gone to an area where I have the skills to do this, but I don't like it, and step back. And I think that takes a great deal of self-awareness, not to toot my own horn, but it really does. You need to acknowledge that you're unhappy and be willing. Because if you're unhappy and you're a leader, and this is how we segue back into our
topic.
Our topic, if you are unhappy and you are a leader, everybody under you is unhappy. It will seep out through your pores. Not that you are doing anything in particular to make them unhappy, but if you are not happy, you can't facilitate the happiness of your team.
Well, and that's the worst part, is it's not that when you're unhappy, you're doing something to make people unhappy, yes. Which is actually almost better. Like, if you're just an asshole, your team can be like, they'll rally against you, you know? Like, if you're just a dick, it's obvious, like, well, he comes in and he's an asshole. He comes in, tells us all we're pieces of shit, and then goes to lunch. That's manageable. You can deal with that. When you're just unhappy, you're not doing anything wrong. You're just diminishing the happiness of your team in a way that nobody realizes you're even the problem. Just everything gets crappier.
Mm-hmm. And if you're a good leader, it's actually worse because your team also wants you to be happy and can sense when you're not. So.
And sometimes you don't even realize it. I actually had it pointed out to me. Mm-hmm. It's like, you are unhappy and the team knows it. Oh, no, really?
Well,
am I transparent? It's like, oh, yeah, you are.
When I stepped down from director, and this was one time where stepping down was actually successful for me. I stepped down from director to take on a managerial role. Basically, I went from like director to middle management, which is painful to say, but it was because our CTO was like, you seem like genuinely unhappy. Like, you just don't seem to enjoy your job anymore. And I'm a ranty, yelly sort of guy, but at least I tend to enjoy the shit I'm doing. And he's like, do you even like your fucking job? And I'm like, as it turns out, I do not. What are my options here? And he's like, well, why don't we switch you and another guy and make you report to him? And I was like, I would love that. And instantly everything was better. So sometimes it is successful. Mm-hmm. And I was definitely in a position where I didn't enjoy what I was doing. I like working directly with my team, and at the director level at that company, that wasn't a possibility. So you don't notice necessarily. Sometimes it takes someone outside to say, you seem miserable.
And I think that's one of the differences between a leader and a manager. Look at me pulling it back.
Is that... I've done this before.
The difference between a leader and a manager is anyone in any position, regardless of your title, can be a leader. A manager is somebody who tells people what to do. I always, my statement is always, titles are there to tell other people what you do. That's it. So if your entire purpose in life is to get that title, you need to rethink things, frankly. I'm just gonna be blunt with y'all. you need to rethink things because titles mean nothing. Go talk to a sales organization. Everyone in a sales organization is a VP. Even if they just started. Titles mean absolutely nothing. So that's why it's important to understand leader versus manager.
Well, and I tell this to my leads all the time. If you the minute you have to fall back on your title to gain the authority to manage your team, you've lost it. Like, you fucked up. You need to figure out what you're doing wrong, because having to fall back to that explicit authority that your title gives you is an indication that you're managing at best,
right.
And at worst you're following, as opposed to being a leader where people want to achieve for you and they'll push back and resist when it's the right thing to do, but they're there to help you and you're there to help them and they get that. And so, yeah, I mean, falling back on the title is, well, and we'll talk about when we talk about managing up, like the title should be unnecessary if you are leading.
Right. A manager demands respect, a leader earns it and inspires it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's why I said it.
One of the best managers I've ever had, well, leaders actually, that I've ever had in my life, he basically told me, if you ever need to tell somebody that you're in charge, you're not.
Yep.
Well, it breeds some insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really does.
Well, it indicates that you're obviously not listening to the folks that you're theoretically supposed to be empowering to make decisions. And we'll come to that shortly as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you're supposed to be empowering people to make decisions. And clearly you're not doing that. And clearly you're not listening if you have to assert authority through title, especially if you're doing it regularly. Mm-hmm. Now, there are definitely times when you know, we're in a sub one, there's something that's live that's miserable, and just do the thing I said. We'll discuss why we're doing it this way later. I don't have time to fucking discuss this with you.
Well, and that's I think how you inspire leadership, right? Is you don't, I have, with one person in all the years that I've been managing, and I've managed over time, roughly 200 people, one person who I've had to say, because I said so. And they were just, and I had a team of 25, 30 people at that point, and this one guy wouldn't do anything that I said. So there, again, self-awareness when you're a leader is important, because you have to understand I knew that wasn't me, because everybody else was willing to do it if I explained it to him. This one guy wouldn't do anything I said. And so in his case, it was hit him in the face with a newspaper and tell him, because I said so. You know, I don't even do that with my kids, let alone the people, the adults that I manage. So, sorry, you had a...
Oh, so having both found yourselves in positions that you were unhappy, and maybe other people were in the situation, but if you're at, like, a crossroads between doing the technical path, more focused, versus the management path, are there, like, indicators you should be looking for about how to pick?
For me, it's what is my goal. So if I... And that's why I ultimately chose to step up to SDM at the organization where I am now. I could have just stuck in the kind of lead level and been writing code and doing the thing that I was good at and enjoyed. But I saw an opportunity. I had a relatively clear vision of what I wished our division looked like. And I had a relatively clear vision of how I thought it could get there. Like what the steps would be, what the steps needed to be taken and how that would happen. And I felt like the management team that existed there, the team that I had in place, that I could do that job and make it successful quickly and reliably. And it's a thing I could do, and I would like doing it. And kind of all of those things came together, and so I was like, yeah, I think this is a thing I want to try. It wasn't about getting a title. It wasn't about getting a pay raise. And it wasn't about, you know, having authority over my peers, which is fun. Don't get me wrong. I do enjoy barking orders at people.
Yeah, but you do that no matter what.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just yell orders.
You do that at cons.
Yeah. Nobody listens, but it's fun to do. So, I mean, that's for me, that was kind of how I measure it.
And I would second that. It depends on your goals, but you need to be very honest with yourself about your goals. So if you're like, my goal is to, you know, move into leadership, ask yourself why that's your goal. And if the answer is because I want people to respect me, then you've got the wrong answer, right? And look at what makes you happy. And then always remember that goal, everybody's goal changes, right? So you achieve that goal, you better have another one. Otherwise, you just, you know, made your life very anticlimactic. So, you know, feel free to say, this is my goal, so I'm going to take this path. And nothing ever, both voluntarily and involuntarily, is set in stone when it comes to careers. You could start up that management path and be like, this is not making me happy or getting to me to where I thought I wanted to be. And as long as you can acknowledge that with yourself and, you know, take the leap and do the thing that you think will get you to the place that you in a career want to be. And be honest with yourself again about what that is. If it's money, if it's leadership, if whatever that is, you know, it's your goal. If it's title, like I said, I would look at it again, but you know, if that's your goal, that's your goal. Who am I to tell you you're wrong?
Well, I mean, I think if you're being a leader, that title change is a means to an end. If your goal is that job role, probably a good indication that what you're doing is not exerting leadership qualities or not attempting to adopt leadership. If it is a means to an end, if it is part of the longer term goal that I have, and that's one of the kind of key characteristics of a leader over a manager, is long term thinking. A manager manages short term. Mm-hmm. Manages, let's hit that next goal, let's not get me fired, let's not get us fired, whatever it is. A leader has got this longer term thing going on, and so if part of your long term goal is, well, if I had that job role, that would empower me to do the following things in the organization to get to my longer term goal, it's probably a good indication that you're in the right place, mm-hmm. that maybe that's the right decision for you. And that longer term thinking is really empowering, because it allows you to make sure that not only are you making the right decision, but the decision almost makes itself at that point. Like, if you're aiming toward a thing, think about driving. when you're driving, you're nudging the car back and forth to stay on the road all the time. You're not constantly thinking about having to nudge the wheel back and forth because you're long-term thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get to that spot. So the promotions, the pay raises, the all the features that go along with that are kind of ancillary to getting to the longer-term goal.
Yep.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what are steps you can take so that you are leading instead of managing.
He's taking us back for us.
I like it. I'll pay you for getting us back on topic later. I appreciate that.
It's a good question again, I think, and I've said this a couple of times, but I think self-awareness is a really important piece because you need to be able to look at what you're doing and you need to take a look at what people around you are doing and how they're reacting to you. That's part of mm-hmm. how you can know. And you need to, you know, a leader is absolutely concerned with short-term goals, but they're concerned with short-term goals in terms of the longer-term goal. If you are someone who is walking into work and you have a task you need to do, and one of your, you know, even if you're not a manager at this point, right, you're just in a team, but people come to you and they say, I need this help and I need it right now, and they seem stressed out and you help them before getting to your tasks, you're already a leader.
I don't think that's entirely fair. I think that's a good way to bury yourself too. I think that there's a lot of aspiring good leaders that will sacrifice their ability to do their job in favor of helping their team. You have to be able to draw a clear boundary. And I think that's something that people that aspire to be good leaders fail at more often than not. Like, people that have the self-awareness that want to be leaders, their failure mode tends to be, I gave of myself to the mm-hmm. point where I burnt out and became a burger flipper at Wendy's because I just couldn't handle managing people anymore. So
yeah.
I think that what you should be evaluating if you're trying to become more of a leader and less of a manager are how you manage individual pieces of the responsibility. Things like, you know, how are you directing your team? Are you giving them specific things to do, or are you setting goals for them to target? You know, are you making them adhere to specific standards, or are you laying out a path for them and then coaching them along that path? Like, those are leadership qualities. A manager comes in and, you know, pulls from the scrum board and says, you're gonna do this today, and you're gonna do this today, and you're gonna do this today. That's management. And you can probably be very successful that way, but you're not inspiring people to become better. They're just going to be very good at doing the task you gave them. But coming in and working with your team to get them to become better at saying, okay, what do we need to do? We have a goal. We got to get this fucking thing done. We have a deadline. All right, what's the next thing that we need to do? And you can nudge them in the right direction and help the team learn to think on their own. And that's terrifying because realistically, my goal as a leader, as a manager, is to, in theory, obsolete myself. The fact of the matter is I'll never probably be obsolete because I'm way too loud for that. But, I mean, the goal is that the team is autonomous and that I don't really have a fucking function anymore. And already with my team, I have a lot less work to do day to day than I did when I first adopted the team because they're pretty autonomous now. And so I'll poke my head. I'm now doing more harm than good when I put my head in there. Hey, what are you doing right there? Why are you doing that? I should probably stop talking. You obviously have this under control. I'm just confusing us all, you know?
And I've done, Jer's heard me do this, another talk called Give Up, which is a talk very much about how to kind of get to that leadership level and how to move up in general, even as an individual contributor. And the intent there, and I learned this through my being a leader, is people need to learn to give up things and trust other people to do stuff instead of doing it for them. A manager will stand there and go, well, don't call that variable that, or don't do that thing, or, you know, well, how come you're not going into this menu and this router? And a leader will say, I need this thing done. If you need help, I sit right there. If you need, if there are obstacles in your way, I mean, when we're talking truly a stand-up, right? What's a stand-up supposed to be? Here's what I'm working on. Here's what I worked on yesterday. Here are my roadblocks. And that's the thing that every leader should be listening to, which is, what are their roadblocks? Because your job as a leader is to remove roadblocks, which is why you will never obsolete yourself, because there will always be roadblocks. To kind of counter the obsolete statement, you're not obsoleting yourself. What you're doing is making it so that you can take on other more interesting work to continue to help remove roadblocks to your team so that they can do other more interesting work as well.
It's
So I'm curious, and this may get into the managing up thing that, that you want to get to, but what if the roadblock is another team? Or, you know, say you're responsible for a team that's very, you know, transparent and works really well together and has a great dynamic and you can be more leader-like and instead of dictating everything, but your organization as a whole is hierarchical and authoritarian and wants things to go through channels. And
oh, so you've worked for DeVry.
I was going to say, he works for DeVry. He clearly works at my company. I'm curious which department.
Public sector. Any recommendations?
What I did with my, and this was exactly my team. I mean, you get this to some degree pretty much everywhere, right? My team at DeVry was awful. When I came in, first off, I was essentially told I had two teams, and I was told one team was fantastic, and the other team was essentially the bad news bears of software development teams. And it turned out it was quite the opposite. The other team did exactly what you told them to do, and no more and no less. And the other team were rock stars, but they were a bunch of misfits that nobody had ever pulled together into a cohesive team before. And what I did in that particular case was I took that team, our portal team, and we just outshined, right? We just did everything so that it was impossible to ignore the progress we were making. And within about a year, year and a half, you know, it went from this is the bad news bears team that they can't get anything done to the CIO was pointing to our team as a shining beacon of what should be done. And I would hear on calls things like you should do it like the portal team and go to ask Dawn. And so one of the things is you have to trust that if you're leading and you're leading appropriately and you're leading well, people are gonna see that. They'll try to transfer to your team. They'll do all kinds of things to try to be a part of that. And then the other part of that to help is to build relationships with those other managers so that you can go to them on a level-to-level basis. You know, somebody on their team isn't doing something that your team needs before they can get their job done. And this is where we start to go into the managing up, right? And you go to them and say, Susie isn't getting this done, and my team can't, and I have a deadline. And if I don't get it by date X, then I can't hit my deadline. And you get within a reasonable amount of time of that deadline, and you talk to them, and then you, frankly, you go to their manager, and then you go to their manager, and then you go however far up you need to go. That's while the rest of this has all been like, take care of your team, and oh, you know, big hugs, and we all love each other. There's the other side, which is where you're the hard ass, and you've got to put people in line, and you've got to fire people sometimes, and you have to fire people for the betterment of your team. We should talk about that a little bit too. But there are times when you need to go have very hard conversations with other teams' managers and make sure that they are getting you what you need and you are doing it for your team's sake. And I think that that's really the important characteristic of a leader is you're doing it for your and their sake.
Well, it's show, don't tell. We had we have an ongoing kind of great example where I work where there was a lot of people that have been over the past 5 years or whatever willing to theorize about the right way to do things. And so everyone kind of took their version of the right way to do things, and none of them were actually working. And since everybody had a theory, nobody really wanted to listen to anybody else because it's all, theory. And so what we started doing on our team was just doing things in the way that we felt was the most appropriate, and then you not running around and bragging about it because that doesn't help. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody believes that. But showing, like, okay, rather than say what I would do, and this is an example of my peer development groups, the group that is under a different person of my title, was underperforming considerably. And so rather than go and say what I would do is this or what you should do is this, what I did was I went to our director and said, you know what we should be doing? We should be having all the SDMs should be meeting at least once a month to chat about what we do. Well, who doesn't want to have another meeting? If you're manager, of course you want to have another meeting. I'm a superhero for suggesting such a thing. That's fucking cartoonish. Who does that? This is crazy. And so then at that meeting, it gave us an opportunity to start talking about experiential responses to things that were going wrong. well, I don't know what happens. They keep blowing these estimates. Well, when that was happening to my team, this is what I did, and this is where we currently are. That's way more compelling than, you know what you should do? This. Fuck you. You're not my manager.
Well, one is respectful, and the other one is managing another manager.
Yeah. And
that
so
you have no responsibility
that
for.
That you have no authority for or responsibility for, yeah. Well, and it's really hard to say fuck off to success. Like, it's really hard to say, yeah, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I know it's working for your department. Never mind, I got nothing else after that.
Yeah.
That lost steam halfway through.
But fuck. A manager will say that.
Yeah. And a manager sure as hell will. And so it's worked out really well. The other thing that that I did, and this is very recently, I begged a person, he's Bill. I begged somebody I knew to come work for the company and take over a role that was in bad need of somebody to direct them better, to be a leader. So I begged and finally he agreed, and the fool is going to get buried. But, you know, like, that's another thing you can do is most of you network and you have peers and friends and whatever. Reach out. Try and fill those roles with people that do the right thing. And it doesn't matter if you even approve of their skill. It matters that you approve of their ability to lead.
He doesn't mean you.
I don't approve of you.
That's good.
I'm sorry. This gentleman over here has his hand up first. Right. I apologize.
So you're talking that you kind of answered my question with that example. But like, for instance, we have a situation in our company where the product gets used locally, but then the people that are doing some of the designing and engineering are in this other location, and the first level manager is just shitting the bed, basically. But then the manager above him is in that location, you know? So
yeah.
They have immediate contact, and so how do you bridge it? It's in another state, you know? So it's difficult to...
Well, we all have to get used to the long hallway model. I mean, it's just, that's a reality. That's... And there's certainly, it's harder to network with people who are in disparate locations, but it's possible. You know, I certainly trips, while not always in the budget, are a good idea as well. You know, somebody traveling and saying, hey, you know, we really need to have a conversation in person about this. There's still value in-person conversations, but as much as you can, networking with somebody, it's even just having a phone call, right? There are people that I worked with in my last couple jobs I never met in person. We had a great relationship. We would get, you know, I would call them out of a meeting. I would call them after or before or, you know, some other point in the day when we both had a gap in our schedules, which never happens, but, and said, you know, hey, can we have a conversation about this? You need to start those networking conversations, I feel, very soft. Right? It's not, hey, we need to have a conversation because your guy is a total fuck up, right? But it needs to be, hey, how do we help each other? Because clearly there's some struggles here. Your guys aren't getting stuff done. We need this stuff. How do we help each other make this all better for, right? Because we all have a common goal, which is to have the company continue to exist. So they send us paychecks. Right. I mean, let's be honest. That's our goal. That's all of our goals is. And if any of you are wealthy enough that you work and don't have that as a goal, please let me know because I'm looking for a job. But seriously, that's our goal. We all want to keep our companies running so that we can continue to work there and make money. And so just remember that as a leader, you all have the same goal. If in addition to that, the difference between a manager who wants to keep the company running is they're trying to CYA and keep the company running and looking at what their little piece is. A leader looks at how their little piece interacts with the larger pieces. And we keep the entire company running and we make it a place where we all want to work instead of a place where I do work and all I care about is if my check cashes at the end of the week.
Well, and a key trait of a leader over a manager is... And kind of like an easy external way to see if somebody's a leader or manager is how broadly they apply any lesson they learned. A leader understands that everybody's different, every situation is different, and is able to treat not just their charges, not the people that work for them, each as individuals and deal with their individual strengths and weaknesses. Same goes for dealing with conflict externally. I mean, frankly speaking, and this will come as a surprise, I'm sure, I am not conflict averse.
What?
I know, right? You can't tell, but no, I mean, it's like my superpower at work is that I have zero problem. And I'm, you know, I try and be respectful sometimes. I've been respectful before, is a better way to put that. There's a rumor. I try not to be, no, that's not true either. I don't know how to say the thing I was going to say. I'm going to skip over it because basically I am often disrespectful. It doesn't matter. But I'm willing to be assertive and I'm willing to stand my ground. That doesn't always work. And that actually drove me out of management for a long time, was the idea that I'm not going to change for anybody. I'm just going to be the blunt me. And I'm, how many of you have heard this one? I'm just being honest. If they don't like it, fuck them. Right? Yeah. That's working out super well, right? Like, it works in the 10% of the instances where it works, and the other 90%, fuck you. You know, it's useless. And so one of the things that I've had to learn is how to adapt all of this to different situations. And I'll use a practical example that's relatively recent. There's an individual that I've worked with in the past that I had to deal with, and frankly speaking, she's the fucking worst. Like, if she was walking across the parking lot, I wouldn't even take my foot off the gas. Like, I might push down harder. I don't fucking know. I would unplug her life support to charge my phone if I had half battery. Like, just the fucking worst.
Message here is he doesn't like her.
I'm not a fan, as it turns out. But she's in a position to make my life and the life of my team very difficult with very little effort, just by being the worst that she is. And so I have to eat some serious shit on a regular basis. So send these emails, they're like, maybe I just don't understand the fucking shitty bullshit job that you barely fucking have. Maybe I just don't understand this. So could you please explain it to me in a way that I can understand? I just don't get what you do. Fuck you. You have a third grader's job.
Yeah.
I do understand her job. But sometimes you just have to fucking suck it up. Sometimes you have to send that email or sit there in a meeting while they explain how hard what they have to do is and why they need all this extra time and be like, yeah, that sounds really tough. What can we do to kind of ease some of that burden from you then so that it'll take a little less time? I don't like that. That is, of all of the parts of my job, that is easily, I will sit in 12 hours of meetings a day for weeks to not have to do that.
See, and
but
that's
important.
That's the part that I do without even thinking about it. And I think it's summed up I think it's summed up by one of the ladies, a PM who used to work for me. And she said, it is absolutely amazing. I don't know how you do it. But somehow you look at people and you smile and you say, you know what would be awesome? If you did your fucking job, that would be so great. And they're always like, oh, okay. And they go off and do it. She's like, how do you get them to do that?
I say the same thing and they don't say, oh, great.
Well, it's because you say,
literally,
you do your fucking job. Yeah,
great,
exactly.
If you did your fucking job, right? I believe one of my favorite things to say is, why don't we pretend there's a customer paying you to do this? Because there fucking is. They don't like that. It's apparently different.
Yeah, a little bit. So leaders can be different kinds of leaders, too, and still be effective.
Well, yeah, I thought about that when you were talking about, like, you know, we're talking about it's all huggy and friendly. And I don't think that my leadership style is any way huggy or friendly. In fact, there's at least one member of my team in the audience right now, and that can attest to. Our team can probably best be described as joking with each other as if we are all siblings and we don't like each other that much. We all do really like each other, but you wouldn't know it to walk into our work area because we're constantly like, really? You thought this was a fucking good idea today? Really? But because we all do it with care, because we all do legitimately care about one another, we can get away with that. Not a lot of management teams can get away with that because it sounds awfully harsh. And I have at least one or two people on my team that we have to be delicate around because they just can't handle that. And that's part of dealing with individuals as individuals. We all know, like, okay, you can't, when this person does something subpar, where, you know, for a lot of the team, I can be like, seriously, did you fucking check this code in? We're going to burn your house down today. That's what's happening at the end of the workday. And everyone's like, that's funny. Yeah, I'll fix it. This person, I have to be like, hey, can we talk for a minute? I want to chat about what you checked in because it's not great. You just learn to deal with people as individuals. Oh. I would prefer to just yell at everybody that I'm going to burn their house down. But if I want my team to be able to work as well as they can and feel safe taking risks, I need to take into account what makes them feel safe in the office, often not me.
That ability to kind of, as Jared puts it, eat shit and deal with people also is useful when you're managing up. right? So we've been talking kind of about managing. We talked a little bit about managing down. We talked a little bit about managing across. Talking about managing up, there's a whole lot of shit eating that goes on when you manage up, because it's really hard to walk up to a CEO and go, look, you're a douchebag, and I think every decision you've made is wrong today, and I'm going to go home.
They fucking hate that.
But if you have a good, and this is, if you have a good leader who is a CIO, you are able to walk in and go, I don't agree with what you're saying. So just like you would never want one of your team members to come in and say in the middle of a meeting, chair, that was the dumbest fucking thing you've ever said. And you say a lot of really dumb things, but that is like,
funny, actually. That'd be pretty fucking funny.
Most leaders would not like that. But you appreciate when somebody comes to you privately and says, hey, look, I'm not feeling this decision you made. I'm not thrilled. I think it's going to, here's the hard reasons. Here's my data on why I think this is a bad decision. I'll always present up with data if you can, instead of just this feels wrong. And if you can do that and talk to them privately and let them save face, right? Then you're managing up effectively. Also, I always think of managing up as, I don't want them to ever get surprised. That's a huge one to me is I once walked into my director's office and said, everything went to shit during the deployment last night. It's all bad. It's bad. And we're working on it and we should have it fixed in, you know, a couple of hours. Literally, as I'm standing there telling him, the CEO walks in and goes, so what happened with the deployment last night? And it was about a 5-minute gap of him being surprised by the CEO and not having answers and him able to answer those questions. And that is effective upward management.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually my least, well, aside from the eating shit part, one of my least favorite things is to get suddenly surprised when, you know, like my boss or somebody from another department says, hey, what's going on with this thing? What do you mean? Well, I heard we pushed a deployment date. That can't be true, because I'd have to murder my team if that was true and I wasn't aware of it, right, gang? So I endeavor to make sure that my management team never has to deal with that, because I know that's the fucking worst, to look like just a complete asshole that has no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
We moved the date. What was the new date? Interesting. I'm pretending I knew that.
Yeah. And it's an uncomfortable conversation sometimes. You know, we had to move the date. It had to happen. Here's my reasons why. Again, getting back to the if you can have data thing. I had a CEO who once told, I said, I need another member of my team. He goes, when you show me that your team is as effective as they can be and they are doing everything as efficiently as they can be, then I will give you the okay to hire somebody else. And I did that. I came back and said, this team cannot do any more hours. They cannot. Everybody's being paid what, you know, what's effective within, you know, the right salary ranges, and came to him with the data, and he approved it. And he appreciated the fact that I wasn't just like, well, but I need it, right?
Now, I, on the other hand, am a temper tantrum thrower. I have found that that's way better than data.
Different leadership
styles. Yeah, I was just saying, if you're 300 pounds and bald, you can pretty much throw all the temper tantrums you want. It works, trust me.
Yeah.
Or the company hires somebody that you either have to work with directly or you have to manage, and they're just not up, they don't have the skills, and they just can't really perform the role that they've been hired to do, and you report that to your boss or Mike as the owner of the company, and he says, tough, make it work.
Oh, see, tough, make it work is pretty much my ejection lever right there.
I like, was just going
to
say,
you're willing to work with me.
You're working in the wrong place.
I'll go through some shit if you're willing to work with me. If the answer is tough, make it work, that's probably about 7 business days from my last day, roughly.
That is a manager, not a leader.
Yeah.
This is a situation that I'm a software consultant, so I don't get to choose who I work with. This is something I have to deal with pretty regularly, and it's a form of managing up in some ways that I find. The people that cause me the most pain, the way I found to get them to cause me less pain, is instead of, I can go to my boss and bitch, but it's not going to get anything done. What seems to have worked, because I'm outside of the organization, they don't care what I think.
Mm-hmm.
What seems to have worked best for me is try to strengthen those places where they have the weaknesses. And now, like, if I'm dealing with just a developer who doesn't have the skills, the easiest way is for me to pair with them. I mean, we do traditional pair programming, two people, one keyboard. That's a coding style, not a bad movie you don't want to see.
I'd watch that.
you know, for those simple technical skills, that usually works pretty well. Is, you know, I can get a person, in fact, that's kind of what I do, is just take people who don't have the skills and get them more skills. Someone in a managerial role, like somebody who's nominally above the people that I'm normally working with, but I found it is trying to strengthen them in other ways, such as I had a product owner who, when she started out, she was very bad at figuring out how to plan the next batch of work. I think we spent half a week trying to figure out what we're going to do the next half a week. And I mean that half a week just sitting in meetings. And so just sort of started taking over tasks for her to model what needed to be done. That seemed to help a lot because then this person, they started just doing those things. So, hey, that made everything easier when that was done. And so they'll just start doing it now. Mm.
Leading by example is one. And to answer less glibly than my pull the ejection handle and leave 7 days out, one of the things that I found fairly reliably useful is explaining the natural repercussions of not acting in the way that I indicate we should be acting. And that's been very successful for me. It's very difficult to deliver in a way that doesn't sound like a threat. And it's not meant to be a threat, but it's okay. I suggest we do this. If you don't, this is the logical outcome. If you do the thing you're about to do, this is the logical outcome. You only have to be right about those about four or five times in a row before they start actually listening. They don't listen reliably, and a bad manager will always be a bad manager unless they make the effort to become a better manager. But at least they start to listen to the worst of them. When you come to them and say, if you do this, this is the next step. And they go, oh, all right, maybe I don't do that one. I mean, Jer's been right 6 times in a row. Maybe I don't want to make it 7, because also he does the I told you so thing a lot.
Yeah. And the other thing to do, and I've been in your exact situation where I'm working with a person or another team that is, I don't care. Just work with them. As a self-preservation method, if ejection isn't a reliable or a reasonable alternative, start building your walls around yourself and your team. Get a lot of clarity about exactly what your responsibilities are and what their responsibilities are, and make sure you are hitting all of your buttons. You are getting all of your team is getting all of their work done, because it becomes very apparent where the gap is if you've been told your responsibilities are X, Y, and Z, and you are knocking X, Y, and Z out of the park. So once you build that wall and they're on the outside of it, you know, and this is a fairly Machiavellian way, but there are times, but it's a very Machiavellian response of just deal with it, right? So then that requires a Machiavellian response of, well, then I'm building my wall around my group, and we are inside this wall, and nobody's coming through, and we are doing all of our stuff, and if other things aren't getting done, you can't look to us.
Well, and your team can participate in that kind of insular thing. And we've done this on a project where we'll take a project manager, for example, that's just not managing the client in any way. So the work is getting reliably done, but nobody's managing the client. And so it's, you know, the nauseating moment of infinite scope creep. Well, we built this and then they changed all the acceptance criteria, that sort of thing. What we start doing is doubling down on the amount of communication. And so I work with my team to teach them how to just like bury everything in communication so that it becomes painfully apparent where the flaw is. So, I mean, it's a case-by-case sort of thing. We are pretty much out of time. One last question, I think.
I was going to say, time management is another leadership skill.
Somebody make sure you have a really good final question. Don't fuck this up. No pressure. Oh, that's weird.
Really?
No questions. Don't fuck this up.
Thank you.
There we go. That's better.
Jer, in the past, you've done a lot of freelance work. Did the skills from self-management help to form your current management style?
I would say the opposite. I've had to, when you are freelancing, you get to make a lot of really shitty calls, and the only person that you affect is really you. So you learn really bad habits, and you learn like, I don't give a shit, I'll just leave, fuck you, you're done, I'm done with you, client. So I've had to unlearn a lot of really aggressively bad habits over the past several years, because suddenly I'm responsible for more people. You know, it's the difference between being a bachelor and having a family of 10 now, you know, like, see, my decisions no longer merely affect me, they affect a bunch of other people who would like to feed their families as well.
It's funny, because your management style seems very selfish, but it's still...
Oh, you, well, you're fired. hope it was worth it. Thank you guys for coming out, you're a great audience.
Absolutely, thank you.